The Seth Green Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Seth Green team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need. Building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
All right, well, let's get started this morning in God's Word, since that's the reason why I came. I mean, I love praising God and with our song and enjoying the fellowship, but I need the ministry of His Word. Amen? And it's the preaching of His Word that is going to bring revival, is going to bring encouragement to our souls, going to give us what we need to get through the hard times. We don't need man's wisdom, do we? We need the simple Word of God. All right, so we're in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, verses 1 through 6. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have your Bible but you can't read it anyhow, then I have it in the bulletin in 14-point font. And we'll just go ahead. You can follow along as we're in there. But I guess it was Friday, I was working in my office, and my son-in-law Michael has his little office, his computer set up next to my desk, and then to the right of him was his oldest daughter Elizabeth doing her homework. And she's in all advanced classes. Is it AP? Is that what they call it? Yeah, whatever it is. And so she was asking her father, Dad, we learned today what BC means. Do you know what BC is? And so he said, I think it means before Christ. And then she got this little smile on her face. I knew she was setting her dad up. And she said, okay, and what does A.D. mean, Dad? And the reason I knew that she was setting her dad up is because I think I was in college before I found out that A.D. does not mean after death. I mean, if B.C. means before Christ, then A.D. obviously would mean after death, right? And that's what I thought, but it's actually Latin for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. So every time somebody says, well, this is 2012 A.D., they may be a believer, they may not be a believer, but with their mouth, they just acknowledge the fact of Jesus Christ. Because this is the year of our Lord, 2012. That's what A.D. means, Anno Domini. And of course, the unbelievers out there can't leave that alone, so they're trying to change that. They're trying to change A.D. to C.E., which means Common Era. And then B.C. would be B.C.E., before the Common Era. And I said, no, that's okay. They can use C.E. if they want to, because we'll just say that that means Christ's example, or whatever, or before his example, or whatever you wanted to say. But even as we speak, the forces that are out there are trying to take away the BC and the AD that we've had for all of, you know, over 2,000 years, but they don't like that because they figured out that it's talking about Jesus. And if you say BC or AD, either way, you're acknowledging the fact of Jesus Christ. And so I want to, even though, you know, A.D. after death makes, you know, good, you know, sense to me, we realize that if 1 A.D. meant after death, then Jesus would have been born, you know, after death. Very confusing. So the year of our Lord, the year of our Lord. And but Paul begins in Ephesians 2:1, and he says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. All right? Now, who do you think he's talking about? us. He's talking about everybody. He's even talking about himself. All right, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. And so what Paul is revealing here is that we are all born with a sin nature. Now, every one of us love to see a little baby. And there are people who would say that every little child that is born in perfection, is born without any wickedness or badness in them, and it's only as they learn to be bad that they become bad. And of course, those of us who are parents know quite differently, because you can do everything you want to when that child gets a wet diaper, when he gets an empty belly, the selfishness kind of kicks in there, and he doesn't care that it's the middle of the night. Amen? Okay, a baby with a wet diaper or an empty tummy doesn't care that you've been up for 36 hours straight and that you are in dire need of a little bit of rest. All this child knows is there's something that he wants, and he wants it now. I was just thinking of Terry's little puppy that will wake up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and decide, it's playtime. All right. And, oh, there's Mama's hair over there. I think I'll go and get a mouthful of her hair and start pulling on it. And poor Sister Terry, who so badly needs her rest, is then suddenly awakened from her slumber by this little puppy dog tugging on her and trying to play. Now, Paul recognizes that all of us are born, even that little puppy. We're all born with a sin nature. Amen? And that sin nature, if you leave it to yourself, you can socialize a sin nature. You can tell it that certain activities are not acceptable. See, there's people out there in this world right now that, I mean, they're not axe murderers, they're not, raging sex fiends or drunk in the gutter alcoholics, but they're not Christians. But they know how to comport themselves. They may be educated, they may have advanced degrees. They may speak quite eloquently, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a sin nature. That simply means that they have somewhat trained their sin nature. They've been socialized, all right? And that's what we do with puppies, don't we? No, wetting in the middle of Mama's bed is not permissible. We have to go outside when it's time to empty our little tiny bladders. And so we try to socialize these little things, whether they're little pets or they're little children, and let them know that throwing these tantrums. My younger brother he had a way that he thought would ensure that he would be able to do what he wanted to do. And if he was told no by our mother or father, but especially our mother, he would go into the washroom, which had a concrete floor. The rest of the house had a wooden floor, but the washroom, for some reason, had a concrete floor, and he'd begin banging his head on the concrete floor. And I remember walking up to him and saying, you're going to bang yourself into unconsciousness, and you're still not going to change your mind. You know, I mean, once Mom says no, it's no. And I don't know how many times he ever tried that, but ultimately he found out that the only thing you're going to get in rebelling towards Mom by banging your head on the cement is just a headache. And that's it. And a big bruise afterwards, all right? And so we all have this sin nature. We might socialize it, we might train it, we might dress it up in Armani suits. But we all have this sin nature. And so Paul is talking about that the spirit of disobedience, now working in the sons, the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And that's how we all were before Jesus found us and saved us. Amen? I remember when I was first saved, I was so thankful that God had mercy on me and He saved my soul. But then there was that, I wasn't a teenager anymore, but I was kind of like a teenage Christian, where I began thinking, gee, how fortunate God was to find someone such as I. You know, that was so talented, and I never thought I was good looking, so I won't go down that road. But, you know, I have all of these abilities and all of that. How fortunate you are, God, that, you know, you did come across me and find me. And then, of course, as I grow a little bit in the Lord and I realize just how much their sin does have a grasp on all of our hearts, that I recognize that God didn't get a good deal even in me. Amen? Amen. Yesterday, Terry and I were at Walmart. And Walmart now has moved the clearance aisle to the front entrance. And because Terry always has to go down the clearance aisle. And that's where, what is the clearance aisle? The clearance aisle is where they put the stuff that nobody was interested in. They put the stuff that is left over. They reduce it in price. Something that was $8 is now $2. And you know what? If God got a good deal on any of us, it was finding us in the clearance aisle. Amen? Marked down. Nobody else wanted us. But He loved us enough to pick us up. Even after He ran us through the price scanner and found out how much the devil was asking for us, He still paid the price. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. And then I like verse 4. But God. But God. Folks, if there's two more encouraging words in the Word of God, I don't know what they are. But God. Here's our condition. Lost in our sin, on the clearance aisle of the devil's Walmart. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, with which He loved us. Amen. Did He deserve us? I mean, even our little puppy is cute. Amen. I'm always telling him, what a handsome young man you are. He's a little beagle, and he's just a little doll. But there was nothing that made God love us except His decision to love us. God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Amen? Even when we were dead and buried and we stunk, He chose to make us alive in Christ. Now, when our daughter and her husband and their children moved in with us, they had a little chest freezer. And they took this chest freezer, and because there was no room for it in the house, they put it on the back porch. And they plugged it into the outlet on the back, not knowing that if there is a storm, that outlet is on one of those, ground fault interrupter circuits. And it always blows. And that circuit breaker blew, and they didn't know it. And so everything that was in that chest freezer went bad. That was about 9 months ago. That chest freezer has not yet been opened. You know, Michael has said, we're going to have to wait till winter We're going to have to plug it back in and make sure everything is frozen, because when you open that lid, something may register in the biological warfare department down in Houston. At whatever is in there is so bad, and who knows who's going to show up on our doorstep because of that. So he's saying, just leave it, Dad. Don't open it. Whatever you do, we'll just wait till it gets cool outside again, and we'll plug it in and freeze it up real good, and then we'll chip it out of there and put it in plastic bags and try to haul it off to the dump before it thaws out or whatever. You know what? That's exactly our condition when God found us. We just weren't dead in our sins. We were dead and stinking in our sins. Amen? But even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together through Christ. By grace you have been saved. And not only has He made us alive, amen? I mean, He could just say, okay, here's Dale, and he was such a rascal, but I'm going to go ahead and give him rebirth and make him a Christian, so that when he dies, he'll go to heaven. But in the meantime, he's just going to be my zombie slave to do whatever I want him to do, and I'm just going to have him do all the dirty work. That may have been what I deserved, but that's not what God did.
Right.
Amen? He said, here's Dale and Terry and the rest of us who don't deserve His love, but not only am I going to make them alive again in Christ, but I'm going to raise them up with Me. Amen? Verse 6, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? We talk about having our mansion over the hilltop. God or Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that where I am, Jesus says, there you may be also. And we think that, it's living in this place that He's prepared for us, this mansion or whatever. But I want you to see that He's raised us up and seated us. This is already in His mind. We're sitting right next to Him. Amen? In the heavenlies. Now, I know when Terry and I were dating, we couldn't get close enough. As a matter of fact, I remember one time, I don't know if Terry remembers this, but we were in my dad's Buick, and I was driving, and she was sitting right next to me. And she was sitting so close to me that some other guy, some old guy, probably in his 30s or something, as we were at a stop sign, he turned and rolled down his window and actually chewed me out. You can't drive that car properly having that person so close to you. And so I did the... No, I didn't do the godly thing. But at any rate, we drove on through life, and Terry and I are still sitting next to each other today. But when you love somebody, where do you want them to sit? Right there. Right there. I'm going to be able to put my arm around you. I want you right there. When we went to Bible college, we had the Bible rule there, and that is that people of the opposite sex could be no closer together than the width of a Scofield Bible. Okay? Which was about that big. If you held hands, what was that called? Who remembers? PDA, public display of affection. And you would get written up for PDA. Even if you were married, Terry and I were married. And we could not hold hands on campus because of the display of affection rules or whatever, I couldn't put my arm around her. And if you love somebody, and even if you're just friends with somebody, you want to be there. You want to be next to them. You want them right there. Amen? And that's, it says that not only has He made us alive again, in Jesus, He's raised us up with Him and seated us with Him. right next to Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? Now, how many of you have your Bibles and you see that places is italicized? It's italicized. What have we learned about when a word is italicized? It's not there in the original language. All right, the translators put that word in there because they thought it would make it more understandable to us. But places is not there. The way that this reads is, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen? And, you know, there's a... the Bible talks about three heavens. And some people think that, well, when you get to heaven, there's three levels of heaven. And that's not what the Bible means when it's talking about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. The first heaven is where the birds fly. Okay? The second heaven is where the stars are. Outer space, where we send our rocket ships and whatever. And the third heaven is the domain of God. All right? And so He has seated us with Him in the heavenlies, in that third heaven with God. And so we might think, boy, when I die, I'm moving into my mansion. I even have that song that I sing, you know, I can't wait to hear trumpets. For I know what it means when I sound. I can't wait to cast off all my... how does that go? To get my sleeping bag unrolled. There we go. Because I got to move in to my mansion. The mansion's going to be a nice place to go, okay? But Jesus has a place reserved for me and all of us right next to Him. Amen? Isn't that good? I mean, it's not... Okay, now all of you guys that were of this denomination, you guys, you go sit over there. And those of you that were of other denomination, you go sit over here. Those of you that were of this, my favorite denomination, you go ahead and sit here. No, God doesn't recognize denominations. Amen? He just recognizes those who love Him and those who don't. And for those of us who love Him, He says, now you sit right next to me. Now, I don't know physically how that happens. Okay, there's going to be a few of us. Amen. You know, but He says, this is what I have for you. I have a place right here. I want to be able to put my arm around you. Folks, all the things that we have longed for in this life, we will realize in the next. Amen. When we were so lonely, that we would say, God, don't you care? And He would say, I cared so much that I sent my Son. And in the heavenlies, He would put His arm around us to comfort us. But because we exist in the physical and He's in the spiritual, and I mean, we couldn't feel that. But there is coming a time when He'll be able to put His arms around us and say, you know, you did deal with a lot of difficult things in your physical life, but now you're sitting here next to me. Amen? And we'll be able... And what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there like a good little Christian with your arms or your hands folded and just, okay? Or are you just going to lean into Jesus, the one who bought you with His blood? Amen. Amen? Amen? Folks, right now, there's a place reserved for us. Not out in the back 40. There's a place reserved for us right next to Jesus. Father, we thank You.
Comes another day, time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make, how will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows, will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind, here comes the rain, yeah, welcome to the shine.